Straight Cash is brought to you by GameTime, your new go-to app for the best deals on last-minute tickets. Did you know Vikings ticket prices tend to drop right before the game starts? GameTime tracks prices in real time from thousands of trusted sellers, then shows you all the best last-minute deals with prices up to 60% off. More than 12 million fans have downloaded the GameTime app and discovered the fastest, easiest way to get into the game. Before today's Vikings-Chiefs game, Arif and I, we tested out the app, I would say. We were messing around in the desktop version, and it really was rather remarkable. We had the question of whether ticket sales were going to, what they were going to do with Patrick Mahomes officially out, Vikings fans everywhere, purple everywhere. What did you make of using the Game Time app?
Yeah, well, first I went to the other guys, tried to see kind of what the prices were. Then I went over to the app, pretty easy to use, just log in, and you get all the prices right there in front of you. You can see how many, you know, you've got a field view, you can see where you're sitting. We were able to get, lower tier tickets at the 50 for less than $80.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Was really incredible. And I got to tell you, the other guys, they were not less than $80.
So had you used the Game Time app, you could have saved yourself plenty of money. So head to the App Store or Play Store now to download Game Time and score awesome deals on last minute tickets.
Straight Cash, homie.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Straight Cash Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Graff, joined again by my colleague at The Athletic on the Vikings beat, Arif Hassan. We are up in a coach's building, a room up high above Arrowhead Stadium, looking out at what is really a cool sight. Was a good game, tons of purple, awesome atmosphere, cool city, tons of tailgating. Everything was going great for the tons of Vikings fans here until the Vikings got the ball back with 2 minutes 30 seconds remaining in a tie game, and Kirk Cousins in the offense lost 7 yards, forced to punt, never got the ball back, and the Chiefs won the game. Arif, this sort of feels like a game where a lot of things went wrong for the Vikings. You could pin the blame on the offense for not, you know, getting the ball back with 2 drives and not having anything to show for them. You could blame the defense for giving up 26 points to a Matt Moore-led team, to letting Matt Moore, even after a shanked punt, complete passes of 17 and 13 yards to get them in field goal range. And, you know, frankly, you could blame special teams a little bit as well, given that Dan Bailey missed an extra point and then Colquitt on a punt that, you know, was it at a very big time with 2 minutes left, shanked that and gave the Chiefs great field position to set up their ultimate game-winning field goal. So, Arif, where do you lie most of the blame? How do you look at how it all went down?
Yes.
Yes, it was all a problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, so, you know, the last piece I published that got a ton of traction was the Kirk Cousins piece in the Chicago game, saying, hey, the blame's on Kirk Cousins. You say, You fix everything else. A lot of people have problems, but if Kirk Cousins doesn't play better, they don't win that game. This is a different game, I think. I think, you know, it's a close game, right? It goes to a last-second field goal, and that means, you know, when it's a close game, that any number of units could have played better, and that would have been it for the Vikings, right? Even, like you mentioned, special teams, that extra point probably changes. You know, play calling down in the red zone, that probably changes what the Vikings do. That probably changes what the Chiefs do. But ultimately, hey, in a tie game, that extra point, like, it's just... that extra point probably would have meant a lot. Obviously, you know, the game ends up 26-24, but I think it changes the nature of play calling. Plus, you mentioned the shank there, and it really felt like the special teams unit was really just not interested in Tyreek Hill getting the ball. Right. And so it felt like a lot of them were shanks, but most of them were really just more directional punts that which had an odd ball flight, because most of those punts went pretty far, and I think the Vikings would take them. So you could say that. You could say the defense, like you said, allowing 26 points to a Matt Moore-led offense. It felt like, you know, when they were covering up the top, that, you know, all these no-cover zones were being exploited by the Chiefs, when it felt like, you know, they were trying to clamp down these short passes. The Chiefs went over the top. They seemed to have some pretty good plays dialed up. Maybe not the perfect play every single time, but some pretty good plays dialed up. And you know, and sometimes, you know, the ball bounced kind of in the right way. You know, Sammy Watkins is an incredible receiver, right. But, you know, those 2 catches, I think in a lot of games, not both of them are completed, and both of them need to be completed for the Chiefs to have, you know, kind of this win, right? And you had good coverage from Rhodes, you had good coverage from Kendricks in both of those scenarios. So a lot of things went right for the Chiefs just in terms of kind of the bounce of the ball. I think a lot of things went wrong for the defense in terms of the way they executed their assignments. A lot of things went wrong for the offense, especially in those final drives, because it's not just that last two-minute drive. They also had the ball with 7:47 left, couldn't get the ball moving either. So, you know, really it's kind of, you could say a failure at all levels. It's kind of difficult to say that because they were this close to winning too.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
If he misses the kick and, you know, they go to overtime and they win, we could say it was a success at every level, right?
Right.
And so it's difficult, but I think if any one of the three units performs better, the Vikings probably win.
Fair enough. So let's start with, let's do the offense first, and then we'll get to the defense. The offense, I think it's very fair to say that after four very good games in a row, Kirk Cousins struggled, he came back to, you know, his regular self, however you want to phrase it. This was not a very good game for Kirk Cousins. 19 of 38, 220 yards, did have three touchdowns, but not an impressive day. I think Mike Zimmer conceded that. Mike Zimmer said that there were throws that Kirk Cousins probably wants back, but that he also feels the rest of the team didn't do enough to help Kirk Cousins. The running game, you know, had a few moments, but not a ton. Dalvin Cook did finish with 21 carries, you know, which is, I think, a decent amount of carries, especially considering that Mike Zimmer felt the Vikings didn't run the ball enough in the first half. So how do you, and I guess the other thing that should be brought up looking at the offense is just that Stephon Diggs was not really involved at all. He had four targets, one catch, 4 yards. Nearly completed a very deep pass that just, you know, missed by a couple of feet that I think could have been a game-changing pass and catch. But how do you look at the offense's struggles? On the one hand, 23 points on the road. On the other, Kirk Cousins wasn't great. The running game didn't get going. There were penalties that brought things back. Without Adam Thielen for most of the game, Stephon Diggs didn't do much. What are your thoughts on the offense today?
Right, so 71 yards on those 21 carries, so that's not great, right? You know, 3.3 yards per carry.
I like the math on the top of the head.
it's obviously it's not remarkable, right? And so if your running game can't be efficient, you know, Kirk mentioned that one of the reasons that they weren't very successful on third down is because they were in third and long a lot. You know, he mentioned that they had a great third and short menu, but they weren't able to use it because they weren't in third and short, although they were in fourth and short, and I think they used it pretty successfully there. But yeah, you know, if they don't have an opportunity to make those third and manageables, you know, a lot of that, you know, is perhaps they should throw the ball more on first down, but the response to that is when that doesn't work, they run the ball on second down. Running the ball isn't working, so now they've got third and long.
Right.
And so really, it's really about kind of isolating and making those first down plays just more successful. And that doesn't mean running the ball necessarily. They just couldn't get, you know, the offense moving initially. You know, you say, hey, Kirk Cousins had three touchdowns. I'm sure fantasy owners are happy. But, you know, 5.8 yards per attempt, that's not very good at all. And I think you take a look at those three touchdowns, and they all seem to come kind of isolated from the rest of the offense, right? You know, there was that dart, right, to Kyle Rudolph that looked pretty good. And they had, you know, a couple of good throws here and there, but for the most part, Kirk played poorly, ends up with, you know, a pretty decent pass rating in 94, but it really just doesn't reflect the way that he managed that game, the way that he played. You know, that Diggs throw deep downfield, I don't know how much I want to blame him for that. I felt like the wind picked up at the very end too, right? And so that's one of the challenges of playing kind of outdoor. You know, if he throws that one shorter and the wind doesn't pick up just then, you know, that might be an interception, right? So sometimes, you know, it's kind of difficult, but other times, you know, he's not responding to pressure well. You know, he's throwing with pretty poor mechanics. He mentioned that, you know, he's kind of proud of trying to be accurate, you know, regardless of the platform, but clearly, you know, he mentions it didn't work here, you know, where, you know, some balls were flying kind of high and he's just not hitting his receivers. You know, Zimmer is right when he says, you know, the offense isn't doing much to help him. Kirk was pressured a lot in this game. You know, we saw Stephon Diggs. He wasn't winning contested catches. He had two opportunities for contested catches, lost both of them. Pretty unlike him, but this year has been kind of weird for him too in that regard. So just not a lot available. And when your leading receiver, both in targets and in receiving yards, is Laquon Treadwell, you're just in a difficult spot.
Career day for Laquon Treadwell. Who would have guessed it?
Yeah.
I would have given you a million-to-one odds if he said, what are the chances Laquon Treadwell has a career day today?
Right, yeah, you would think maybe last week, right? But this week, you know, you would have expected Adam Thielen to play for most of the game. That doesn't happen. And I guess the answer wasn't B.C. Johnson. It was Laquon Treadwell, kind of despite the fact that the Vikings clearly like B.C. Johnson a lot more. And, you know, not to say BC had a poor day, he did fine. And there were moments that Kirk just misses Diggs downfield. I mean, there were a couple of moments where Diggs was open deep downfield. Notably, one was late. We saw Diggs kind of throw up his hands, and then, you know, he and Kirk go to the sideline, go over the tablet, and it wasn't quite the same yelling match that we saw in Chicago. But, you know, we saw, you know, earlier in the game, you know, Diggs is open deep downfield on a play action, doesn't get the target. And it is kind of reminiscent of some of that stuff that was happening in Chicago. So, you know, Stephon Diggs, when he got those opportunities, didn't make the most of them. But when he created opportunities, Kirk didn't give it to him, right? Mm-hmm. And so if his only opportunities come on these contested catches, at some point, you know, that's either an offensive design problem or a Kirk Cousins problem and not throwing kind of, you know, open. Because, I mean, this Chiefs defense is not remarkable.
Right.
And so you should be more comfortable, despite how good some of those safeties are, you know, throwing deep downfield, and he wasn't.
Yeah. You mentioned the Chiefs defense not being remarkable. I think one of the things I expected was the Vikings to really run the ball well on the Chiefs and run it frequently, in part because, right, you know, that's what Mike Zimmer has so often sought. But they did run it a lot. 21 times for Dalvin Cook is no joke, but not very successfully. Were you surprised that it wasn't more successful? Was there a reason behind it? Was it just part of the offense not being in much of a rhythm today? What did you make of the running offense?
Well, I was surprised. I think having Chris Jones back was pretty big for them. You know, they haven't been a successful run defense. I think some of that has to do with the number of injuries they have. There are two other defensive linemen that usually start for them that were injured today. I think Frank Clark and Alex Okafor. And that's been a big part of the reason. But when you've got one of the better defensive tackles in the league coming back, that probably helps your, you know, run game out a lot. And it turns out fairly tremendously here, although we also saw pretty good play by, like, Derek Nnadi, who had a really big game. So I think part of it is just, you know, Garrett Bradbury, Pat Elflein weren't playing up to their standards. Josh Klein wasn't even playing up to kind of where he had been for most of the season. So the interior offensive line was getting beat. And, you know, Cook, sometimes, you know, he kind of wants to break a big play. And sometimes that can hurt the offense, too, trying to bounce things outside. And then suddenly there's a Chiefs defender there. So I think a lot of things are at play. I would say most of that has to do with the offensive line versus defensive line kind of battle. But, yeah, that running game wasn't there. We saw, you know, Aaron Jones kind of go off against them. And I think, you know, the Vikings running game has demonstrated they're a little bit better than every other running game in the NFL, and certainly every other running game in the NFC North. And so to see, you know, the Packers be so successful on the ground and in the air with Aaron Jones and not see that here, I think was kind of shocking. The Vikings didn't really seem to have another plan for when that didn't work out.
Right. So let's take a step back and sort of, you know, look at where the Vikings are after this. Do you look at, I guess, this game as, hey, this was always going to be a difficult one to win? They're on the road at a place that's very difficult to win against, even if it's a backup quarterback, a very good coach who can scheme up things for that backup quarterback, against a defense that just got a couple of players back. And so at the end of the day, hey, not all that big of a deal. Or you were going up against Matt Moore, find a way to win. Your offense wasn't good. You still had a chance with the ball with 2:30 left. Just find a way to win and get out of Kansas City with an ugly road win because you're going up against Matt Moore.
I think it's more the second than the first, because opportunities don't just kind of appear, right? And sometimes, you know, those easy wins that we see in the schedule before the season, you know, they turn out not to be easy because a quarterback has developed or a coach is a better play caller than you thought, or, you know, whatever, right? And so, you know, they might have a rookie of the year candidate that you didn't anticipate. And so sometimes the easy wins on the schedule are not so easy. And so when the hard wins become easier, right, you should be able to take advantage of the opportunities that are there. So, yeah, before the season, I think a lot of us had kind of, you know, marked this as a Vikings loss. But, you know, it's kind of our responsibility to adjust our expectations as the season goes on. And it's the team's responsibility to take advantage of any opportunities that are there. Matt Moore was not employed at the beginning of the season, right? He was a scout for the Dolphins. And
oh,
so,
my God. I don't think you're exactly providing a bunch of optimism for Vikings fans on their Monday morning commute right now.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine they would want to be optimistic after this, right? You know, and that's not to say the Vikings can't find a way past this. They've gotten into holes at the beginning of the season. They did here, and they've gotten past it before. So that's not to say they're doomed, but this is certainly a game that I'm not going to say they needed to win because they're still in the playoff race, but a game that was pretty important for them. You know, it's not a divisional game. It's not a conference game. So it's not as big a deal. It's on the road. You've got, you know, kind of that home slate to fix things. But this game would have been a really nice pickup, especially because the Vikings are in contention for the top spot in the NFC North, which is a significantly easier path than, you know, a wild card.
Right. I want to ask you a little bit about the defense and how it played against Matt Moore. But first, Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/cash and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to getroman.com/cash to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's getroman.com/cash for a free visit to get started. getroman.com/cash. So, the defense. What I have a really hard time grappling with where the defense is at, because this is a unit after 2017 and with Mike Zimmer that I think we all expect to lead the Vikings, be the better phase of the Vikings, to when they needed to get a stop, to when they need to shut down Matt Moore. Where are you at? Like, can the Vikings still rely on the defense to be the strength of the team like they used to? Or are games like today more troublesome because, you know, they couldn't get the stops when they needed to?
So I was asked on the radio, I think right before the game, you know, whether or not, hey, this is going to be kind of a tee-off game for the defense, right? You got Matt Moore, who hasn't played in a year, right?
And Dolphin scout Matt Moore,
who is, there's photos of him at pro days, right? Like, he was taking his job very seriously. My answer was, this defense is good for one what-the-heck game every year. Last year was the Bills. Mm-hmm. You know, this year, I guess it's this one, right? Because I guess you could say the Bears, but I've defended that defense in that game before. And I think here, it's not very easy to defend. I think, it just felt like no matter what the defense was doing, the Chiefs had dialed up kind of a different play. Right, and there's a limited amount of explosion that was available to this offense despite the extraordinary amount of speed that existed. And so, you know, they tried to find ways to kind of limit those opportunities, but, you know, they were very comfortable taking, you know, these short passes. And I think kind of the idea is, you know, and it might have been the same idea against Chase Daniel, kind of let them take these short passes. They're going to make a mistake if they continue to have plays on the same drive without scoring, and then we'll kind of capitalize on those opportunities. Problem is, the Vikings didn't capitalize on those opportunities. Right. They had two sacks against Matt Moore that were fumbles. They were both recovered by the Chiefs. Would have been really tremendous for the Vikings to be able to get the ball in those situations.
Including the last drive that forced a fumble, and, you know, how different the game looks at that point. Perhaps Kirk Cousins has his defining game-winning drive with the Vikings, and they're looking at a 7-2 record and a completely different feeling after this game.
Right, yeah, that locker room seems so different despite the fact that 90% of the game goes the same way just because of a bounce of the ball, right? But yeah, you know, the defense, it felt like, you know, Trey Waynes was torched a couple of times. You know, his job seemed to primarily keep Tyreek Hill in check. You know, you didn't see Rhodes on Hill too much, and when you did, Matt Moore, for whatever reason, didn't look his way. You know, Rhodes, actually, he might have even had a good game. He wasn't targeted too much. The only time he was targeted,
who'd have thought after last week it was Trey Waynes that was the issue?
Right. But, you know, you saw, you know, Mike Hughes made a mistake. Mackenzie Alexander was lined up against Travis Kelce for a couple of plays. They eventually noticed that, took advantage of it. There's, of course, the 91-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
By
Damian, I mean, that's a huge shot in the foot that is just so hard to come back from, especially when, you know, it's not that the defense played horrible, especially considering, you know, they almost took the Chiefs out of field goal range for the field goal that tied the game at 23-23. Harrison Smith comes through a great gutsy call from Mike Zimmer. Harrison Smith comes through unblocked, gets the sack, and forces the Chiefs to try what was a 54-yard field goal attempt. Like, that was a good play that, you know, very easily could have swung the game another direction. And then if they just play that 91-yard run better, you know, presumably, it's hard to imagine the Chiefs continuing to march 70 more yards for a score. So that was just a huge, huge play.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the 54-yard kick. I think in the last 5 or 6 years, the Vikings have had kickers make more kicks against them than any other team. In the, so if people want to say that
that's
this franchise
the most Viking
cursed,
stat yeah, ever,
there you go. There's no, you don't have any control over it. The Vikings don't have any control over it. But more kicks and more kicks above expectation based off of distance, right? And that 54-yard field goal,
unbelievable, yeah. And actually incredibly believable. It's just yes. amazing that that's actually true.
So
one of those stats that feels true, and then the numbers do actually back it up.
Just remarkable, right? And then, of course, with the Viking struggles at kicker themselves, which we saw a little bit of today, just remarkable. But, yeah, it really feels like, you know, on a play-to-play basis, you might say this play's a negative, this play's a positive, and in the end, you come out slightly negative, but the negative plays were really big. And then the plays that are kind of borderline all went kind of the Chiefs' way because they recovered their own fumbles, they were able to make a 54-yarder. I think Eric Hendricks mentioned that Danielle Hunter actually got a hand on the 44-yard field goal to win the game. And the trajectory of that ball was really weird. The 54-yarder took forever
right.
to hit. And the 44-yarder just snapped right in, right? And the Chiefs kicker apparently mentioned, and I can't confirm that, but the Chiefs kicker apparently mentioned, Harrison Butker, that you know something felt kind of weird about that when the trajectory was a bit off in the 44-yarder. So they actually did their job and got their hand on the ball.
If you told me Hunter was going to get his hand on any field goal, I would just imagine that because of Hunter's size and strength, like the ball flying 20 yards backward or something.
Right.
I can't picture Danielle Hunter's massive paws getting on a ball, and then it still sails 44 yards. That's quite something.
Yeah, that's remarkable, right? It feels like, you know, when Cousins threw the pass, the slant to Diggs, and Derek Nnadi got his hand on it and
right.
just rocketed
yep,
backwards,
yep.
you would have expected that. But yeah, it's – well, and speaking of, Anthony Barr had a pressure on Matt Moore where he is just closing in, and Moore fits the ball, and Barr is like, what, a foot away? He's about to crush this
right.
poor guy, right?
right?
This guy that was coaching.
This Miami Dolphins scout.
right. And he's about to crush this guy that might be rethinking his career at the moment. And he threads between Barr's hands for a completion, no
yeah.
less. Like,
yeah.
not even just to get rid of the ball.
Because it was against the Vikings, of
right.
course.
And so, yeah, I mean, on a play-to-play basis, the defense was more negative than positive. The negatives were just bigger. The big Tyreek Hill completion against Waynes, the big Damian Williams run, which Harrison Smith was slightly out of gap. Danielle Hunter was kind of too far out of his pocket, so he couldn't squeeze the lane. And then Anthony Harris just gets burned in the open field, which, honestly, given kind of the depth Anthony Harris is at, you can't blame him too much for. But, yeah, I mean, that's rough, like where your negative plays go for 91 yards
right,
and
right.
their negative plays are positives.
Yeah, like, still work.
Yeah, so the defense obviously could have played a lot better, and it just so happens that when they played poorly, they got really gashed for it. And, of course, the final Tyreek Hill reception that went for 4 yards and then magically 9 yards or something
right.
like that, fighting through a bunch of Vikings tackles. Yeah, it just and you know, who knows if they get their hand on a 54-yarder, like
mm-hmm.
that's probably it, right? Even
yep.
even with apparently the kind of magic that Harrison Butker has. So
the going against the Chief, going against the Vikings magic, I think it's referred to.
Yeah. So
a kicker's dream.
Finally, I get to play the Vikings. But yeah, you know, the defense was just kind of out of sorts, and in particular, they just didn't seem to have a solution for this really aggressively talented skill core used in a bunch of different ways. Because you couldn't use the film when they were playing with Patrick Mahomes to build your scouting report. You could only basically use, you know, maybe the second half of the game 2 weeks ago and then this Packers game to really kind of build what you were going to do. And there were a lot of hijinks in that Packers game from the Chiefs offense that I don't know if they're going to put that out there again.
Right.
So then, like, what do you do? And so they tried to play kind of a generic, hey, we know they're fast, so we'll kind of play up top. And then they were very happy with it. And so, all right, well, we're going to play press. And they just chucked it.
Yep.
So it's tough.
Yeah, it certainly is. On a recent episode, you gave, I think, what was a really good breakdown of Stephon Diggs versus Adam Thielen and his route runners. Who, you know, perhaps is better? How do they do things differently? And one of the things that you mentioned was that Adam Thielen is just a really good route runner for what Kirk Cousins likes. And I think in the last two games that I don't think were Kirk Cousins' best games, although the Washington one, you know, he didn't have to be. But I think we're seeing just how important Adam Thielen is to the passing game, to Kirk Cousins, to, you know, essentially what the Vikings do. So just the fact that he wasn't able to go, I think, made a huge difference, including on that first drive. They don't go three and out if either Adam Thielen runs upfield a little bit more or Kirk Cousins puts the ball in a different spot. Thielen was open. Cousins threw to him, and it went incomplete on what would have been like a 12-yard pass. And then I think that's the play that Adam Thielen re-aggravates his hamstring injury and really doesn't play again after that. How important is he, and just how much of a difference did it make to not have Adam Thielen for most of today's game?
It was kind of interesting. You know, last week it seemed like it didn't matter at all, right?
Right.
they just went
Dick
off.
Still had 147, and off they went.
Yeah, so I think in this game, I would have said it probably doesn't matter as much as it will, like, say, against Dallas, you know, going in. Clearly, I would have been wrong in that prediction because I don't think the Chiefs cornerbacks have kind of demonstrated that they're really a kind of a top tier unit, and so I would have expected, you know, maybe BC Johnson doesn't like get open on every play, but you know he would have had, you know, okay time, and then Stephon Diggs would have been able to win on his own. That didn't happen, or when it did happen, Cousins wasn't targeting him, and you know that goes back to this kind of conversation about how Cousins, the way he plays, might be just kind of more amenable to the way that Thielen plays. And so without kind of that understanding of having the same timing and without that kind of understanding of having, you know, knowledge of kind of what Thielen will do on a blitz, what Thielen will do, you know, with outside leverage, inside leverage, you know, the kind of the systematic knowledge that they seem to share, it was kind of difficult for Cousins to find answers when things were kind of going wrong. And so without, I wouldn't say the outlet or safety valve, but without kind of the answer to the next step in the plan, because he's a very methodical quarterback. This happens, then I do this. This happens, then I do this. His brain might even just be kind of a flowchart, right?
Right, right.
without, you know, with a part of that flowchart just kind of missing,
yep.
You know, Cousins throws off his back foot, or he doesn't flip his hips the right way, and the ball sails, or he doesn't know who to target, and he dumps it off to C.J. Ham for 2 yards, a specialty we saw against Chicago,
yes.
Kind of reemerged.
Yep, and it on one play
it
worked,
did pay off.
And for a second I thought, is C.J. Ham going to have like a 65-yard touchdown reception? Wasn't to be, but still a nice game there. Before we wrap up, let's get sort of your big picture thoughts. Entering this game, the Vikings were the number 5 team in the NFL, according to the Athletic Power Rankings, top 10 in DVOA in both football, in both offense and defense at football. With this game, what do you think fair, reasonable expectations should be? What are your thoughts going into what's now a difficult, a second difficult game on the road as they have to go to Dallas, play a primetime game where, again, the lights are going to be on, and we'll see what Kirk Cousins does in that one. But how do you adjust expectations after this game? What are your thoughts going forward about the Vikings?
Well, I think that for the most part, with this many games under their belt, typically you would say, probably don't adjust them too much. It was a close game, and I know it was a backup quarterback, but sometimes you have bad days. This team is largely still good. But the thing is, when the team is bad, they are tremendously bad. And so it is difficult to get a read on the Vikings, because when they're good, they're phenomenal. They look unbeatable. And so what can you say about kind of one of the only close games they've had all season?
Right, right.
I don't know. kind of what would I say about kind of their adjusted expectations? I would say probably, you know, they've demonstrated that they really don't kind of deserve a top 5 moniker, but certainly they're in the top 10, maybe top 8, right? You know, this game is kind of one game in a series of 16. They've demonstrated over the course of the last 8 games that they're generally better than they are worse, and it's difficult for a lot of teams to say that.
Yep. Well, it will certainly be a very interesting week as the Vikings prep for that primetime game in Dallas. Arif and I will have plenty to come at The Athletic. You can subscribe if you're not a subscriber for 40% off using theathletic.com/straightcash. And as always, thank you so much for listening to this episode.